All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone lines. And who's on the line, Sam?
Mark from the Sacks up first.
Hey, Mark, man, thank you very much for hanging on and hanging in there with Sandy's discussion with Dave. But he's trying to prove a point to Dave. And so we were a little long with him. But thank you for hanging in there. What do you say, my friend?
Well, not a problem, brother. And I happened to pick up, it was a copy of a book that had been around when I was a kid. It was part of a series, the volume. It was a heritage of the American heritage, an illustrated history of the United States. And this is from 1963. And as the opening volume of it had an essay, opening of the foreword by John Kennedy. It may not have been written by Kennedy, but he put his name to it. And actually it kind of comes in, it feeds in a little bit, if you stretch it to what Dave was saying, is that, and also so some of the topics, talks about why history is important. He says, the study of the folly and achievements of man best calculated to foster the critical sense of what is permanent and meaningful amid the mass of superficial and transient questions which make up the day-to-day clamor. The history of our nation tells us that every action taken against the freedoms of conscience and expression, against equality before the law and equality of opportunity, against ordinary men and women of the country, is an action taken against the American tradition. And it tells that every action taken for the larger freedom and a more equal, spacious society is one step more toward realization of what Herbert Crowley once called the promise of American life. And what Sandy was bringing up is the promise of American life would be represented if we had more of the social programs which would be expansive for economic opportunities for people. I mean, that other nations have realized that socialism, as you're expressing it in what he was expressing, that fully funded child care programs, fully funded educational programs, fully funded programs, to expand American life. I mean, that Dave was bringing up, the folly of some of the institutionalized housing that has developed in the past, without regard to giving people access to public transportation, which has been further and further eroded by Republican administrations, that lack of opportunity for recreational opportunities, both to enjoy, the cultural things, or also enjoyment of the outdoors, that for outdoor recreation, which was a course I had in college called Outdoor Recreation America. How important that was to society of itself, the renewal that found in nature, but also in the cultural opportunities that have been eroded in our society. And we see this whole nonsense of talking about critical race theories. For goodness sakes, in 1963, this is prior to being woke, but this actually was talking about the exploitation of the American Indians throughout the continents, more North and South America, but also, the exploitation of African Americans, because I can remember in a later volume of it, pictures of the slave ships. That was that woke back then? I mean, that I guess I've drifted far afield, but I mean, that we have to, I don't know. It is just that we can't live in a society where that the economic philosophy is, as Alan Greenspan was putting back in the 80s, a continual thing of that perpetual insecurity, some notion of insecurity, so that the workers are actually compliant for the owners.
We got you. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy. You want to respond to anything, Bill?
Well, I think that. For me, the most fundamental thing is looking at what it takes to provide a birthright to everybody from ages 0 through 21, a birthright to participate in the American society, in the American economy, in a successful way that that adds to the value in the country for, you know, so that every child born becomes a positive, has a positive experience in life and becomes a positive to society. And for me, fundamental to that is looking at what are the needs of everybody when they're born, you know, and what should be fundamental rights. And almost every society has looked at that question and said, it's education, it's child care, it's health care, it's these fundamental things that ought to be assured by the government, and governments have carried that out and assured it, so that families in other countries who might earn whatever the denomination of their currency is, the equivalence in their society of $75,000 a year, can actually live comfortably and without fear. Whereas a family here, there's no question that what was just mentioned, the fear, the tension that Greenspan talked about, that people are required to live under in our form of the market economy, where we don't have health care taken care of, where we don't have child care taken care of, we have families afraid that they can't provide for their children and for themselves these very fundamental things. That's their fear month to month. They're afraid that someone will get something worse than a sore throat in their family and require the expenditure of dollars they don't have to secure the fundamental access to health care.
You know, Sandy, and a certain segment of this population, poor, not black or white, but people who live under that kind of stress on a daily basis in a society that really can do better, right?
Right.
We're not talking about a society that can't afford this. We're talking about a society that can.
And when we're looking at a society that clearly is showing characteristics of high stress, we've got this polarized economic situation. We've got anger expressed in all kinds of different venues. We have road rage occurring. We have shootings everywhere. Right. We have a society that's under stress, and we ought to face up to the fact that a big part of that stress is all these families who are living month to month and are terribly angry with the fact that their existence feels perilous, and it feels perilous every month.
Let's go to the phone line. Sam, who do we have up next?
Jack from Milwaukee.
Hey, Jack, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. I say the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Case in point, you were bringing up about a family of $75,000. Well, you were saying how they got to pay. You were mentioning taxes. Okay, we have a senator here in Wisconsin, this Ron Jagoff. He just passed a tax cut Trump tax cut where the Uline family makes $80 million, and he can afford a beautiful vacation home in Florida. Like I say, you get the leaders of this country are causing a lot of these problems. That's why you don't have. But keep voting Republicans, you damn fools.
I think Jack was a little.
Well, I think that was succinct. That was succinct, but yeah. I think that part of the frustration that's created in this environment where people live paycheck to paycheck is they don't know how to express their frustration, and they don't know who to express it at. So I think a whole lot of these people are probably voting for Trump and voting for Republicans because in their mind that's an expression of their anger and frustration with their situation, because it's hard to know who to be angry with in this environment. But if they sat back and thought about it, they'd realize that this absence of health care and this absence of child care and the costs that they can't cover that are covered for every citizen in almost every other developed country would make a huge difference to them.
Let's do this. Sam, who do we have up next?
CJ from Stoughton.
All right, CJ, what's going on? Any new material?
Well,
wait, CJ. We got you. Let's talk about, because we did this before when you were on the air, about let's let's just focus your comments with respect to political policies on what we do about the family that earns $75,000 a year that lives paycheck to paycheck. What do you have to say about that with respect to, because that's what we've talked about this morning. So I'm interested in a conversation that relates to that subject.
Well, first of all, we're living in a Democrat world, Sandy. This is your party. This is your party's economy. This is your party.
So now Sandy's a Democrat, right?
Response to the economy. Your party promises more inflation with Build Back Broke. You want the government to pay for everybody's child care, everybody's
healthcare.
Well, they're doing
they're paying for
2.5 illegals so far. We're paying for it. We aren't worried about our country. You're worried about vote.
Well, now wait. CJ, wait. Just slow down a minute, because we have heard all of that, but the person who's worried about votes, it seems like, quite frankly, in this conversation is you, because you're using all the talking points that relate to political issues. Just a minute. CJ, just wait a minute. Let's be polite. I think that you're speaking about 2.5 million immigrants, illegal immigrants, instead of talking about the hundreds of millions of families. Okay, we've got... If the median family income in this country is $75,000, then we probably have about 175 million people living in families that earn less than that median income and are struggling to live paycheck to paycheck and are struggling to cover health care costs and to cover child daycare costs, and would not be struggling to do that if they lived in a different developed country. And so I just think we ought to square it. Well, that's not funny. Is that funny, CJ?
It is funny, because you're just preaching to the choir. We can't afford it, Sandy. What caused this inflation?
Hey, CJ, we got to go to a break. We got to go to a break, CJ. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy Williams, we'll be right back.